And I do believe that when we gather, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And sometimes there are things that he puts on your heart that he wants you to pipe up and share. And it's because of what he's doing in your life that's unique to you. And so once in a while, when you feel the Lord leading, feel free to share. All right? And if it's off or whatever, I'll just say something. Don't worry. And be okay with me coming alongside later and be like, you know, you kind of missed it or whatever. That's okay too. I'm not saying it'll happen, but if it does, that's just be ready. It's okay. We learn, we grow. Like honestly, like this is what we're called to do, is to actually build each other up, encourage each other. And if we never step out, we never grow. So don't be afraid. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you're going to make a mistake, but don't be afraid of it. Like, don't worry. Just, Lord, we trust you. We're doing our best to go after you. Hope that makes sense. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, we had Pentecost Sunday, and we were, Angela, the scriptures should be there. They were there. Okay. Okay, they were at the bottom. If they disappeared, we'll just have to go on the fly. It's okay. A few weeks ago, we had Pentecost Sunday. We talked about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming and filling the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and came on them. They began to speak in other tongues and they began to witness, and the church began to explode. And I don't know if you remember much of what I talked about because a few weeks ago, but one of the main things that I really feel is so important for us to understand is that the Holy Spirit came so that we could be witnesses, that we would actually lead people to Christ. We are called, remember, we read the Great Commission, and we are called to go into the world to make disciples. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that gives our hearts the passion and the love for those around us that are lost. And he also is the one that prepares people's hearts to receive the good news. You might not have realized it, but the Holy Spirit was at work in your heart before you ever received him. And he was convicting, and he was opening your eyes and helping you to see. And so, of course, at salvation, the Holy Spirit seals us. He comes into our life. And then we read some of the scriptures last time, and I'm not going to go through them all again, but how there, we see it in the book of Acts, I think it's four or five times where we see people get saved and then a separate experience where they're filled. And again, that filling is something Jesus promised and said, wait for the filling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit before you go. He wanted them to wait. And I talked a little bit about how, you know, this is my heart, is that it's dangerous. Like sometimes we talk about, well, I just want to have a good time with the Lord. We get this like North American hoarding attitude where it's just all for me. I just want to go to have a prayer meeting and I just have a good time, and I want to go to church and have a good time, and I want to go to the conference and have a good time and receive a prophetic word and experience God, and it's all wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But when I really believe that when you experience God, it's a sign to you to share with other people. And when God touches you and you say, whew, I had a good time, I felt his love, or I felt his peace, or whatever it might be, I was healed, da-da-da-da, fill in the blanks, that's wonderful. And it's a sign to you again that the kingdom of God is near. You should tell somebody. It's good news. And what's dangerous is we have, and you know, you can go down lots of different tracks with this, but we sometimes get all about the manifestation, or we get all about the encounter, or we get all about atmosphere instead of actual life-changing fruit to go and share with other people. It's not supposed to be something that I hoard for myself. It's supposed to be something that I freely have received and I freely give it away. And I think we get off track when we make it all about something of those other things, when really Jesus came to show off in our life, to remind us that, hey, I'm real and I'm here. And I love you. Now go tell somebody. We often mumble that last part. No, go tell somebody. Yeah. Oh, it's so wonderful. I heard his voice, or he talked to me, or he healed me, or whatever. That's great. Now, what are you going to do about it? Let your light shine. Amen? All right. So this morning, I want to just kind of give you like a zoomed out view a little bit of just talk about the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? You ever thought about that? Many times people are like, I understand the Father, I understand the Son, the Holy Spirit, But he is at work in our lives and all through the history of the world. He's been active. And you can look in Scripture. I was really hoping those Scriptures would be there because I have about 500 of them to throw at you. But if not, and unfortunately I didn't even type them all out this time. Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit work right from Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2, he's moving on the surface of the water. You see him at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, where he and the bride are crying with one voice. From the beginning to the end, the Holy Spirit has been active in creating, in moving, in tending to us. He comforts us, he helps us, he guides us, he reminds us, he teaches us, he comes alongside us, he counsels us, he intercedes, he advocates for us. There is no area of our life which the believer does not need the help of the Holy Spirit. I remember last time I talked about how Jesus said that that he was sending a helper. We need help, don't we? There's a reason he's sending him. Without a life full of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to build the body of Christ. It's a quote I wrote down and forgot to write down who said it, but it was good. Without a life full of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to build the body of Christ. A gospel with no emphasis on the Holy Spirit is flat. In certain moments, when there was a special manifestation of God, the New Testament emphatically states that the partakers were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that. This is the experience of John the Baptist, who was full of the Spirit in his mother's womb, and that's in Luke 1:15. Elizabeth, when Mary greeted her, remember the baby leaped, and Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when he prophesied, again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the same Spirit into the desert in Luke 4:1. The disciples were filled with the Spirit in the upper room. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up and preached, and 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. Young Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, saw the glory of God when he was being killed for Jesus. Paul, inspired by the Spirit, did things like he rebuked a sorcerer, right, who wanted to buy the gift that he saw. So all through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is active and at work. My Bible actually has a really interesting just set of notes on the Holy Spirit at the end. So I wrote down this, and I'm just going to give it to you. It says, the Holy Spirit is uniquely and distinctly at work in these roles. Number one, he's the author of the Old Testament, and it gave Scriptures like 2 Samuel 23:2. Some of these I don't have written down, so if you can just catch up if you can. Sorry, this it's tricky. Have lots of grace for Angela because it's not instant. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. All right, there's examples like that, how the Holy Spirit spoke, was an author in the Old Testament. He's the author in the New Testament. All right, example would be 1 Corinthians 2:13. You can look that one up. And if you want to write some of these down, you can check them. I can give you more. An example would be John 14, 25, 26, 1 Thessalonians 4:15. There's many examples of the Holy Spirit. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Again, the Holy Spirit is guiding people who wrote the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the Old Testament anointer, all right? The Scriptures name 16 Old Testament leaders in Israel who received this anointing. And I'm not going to read them all, but Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Othniel, Samson, Saul, and the list goes on. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people for a specific purpose and then lifted. And so you saw people anointed to go and do a specific task, and then the Holy Spirit would lift. And the beautiful thing about the New Testament is now the Holy Spirit, where does he live? In us. And so we have access all the time to him. I heard it explained like this. If you're building a house, you know, if you want to think about the Trinity, you're building a house, you have the Father who's the architect, you have the Son who's the foreman, and the Holy Spirit who's the contractor. The Holy Spirit gets stuff done. He's at work. He manifests. The Holy Spirit's the one who anointed the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Joel to write, to prophesy for the day when he'd be outpoured and when his gifts would be exercised in the church and throughout the whole church age. And we have examples like Joel 28 to 30. You can put that one up. Joel 2, 28 to 30. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also, my men servants and all my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. You know, this was a sign at the day of Pentecost. It was a sign to them that it was the beginning of the end times. You know why? And I talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago on the day of Pentecost. In early 1900s, at Azusa Street and the different revivals that were breaking out, one of the reasons that the church exploded, and you've seen the baptism of the Holy Spirit go as something across all denominations. It wasn't about just the Pentecostals. It's been something that's infiltrated everyone. Because why? It's a sign that the end is near. And there's an urgency to go and share the gospel with people. The sign back then, and it's a sign today, that the Holy Spirit is at work and Jesus is coming again soon. In the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all people. And he's doing that. And we are called to go and tell people because the end is near. In Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, God used Isaiah to tell Judah that he would teach them in a manner they did not like, and that he would give them knowledge through the language of foreigners as a sign of their unbelief. Centuries later, the Apostle Paul expands the intent of this passage, referring it to the gift of speaking in tongues in the church as a manifestation or a sign to unbelievers. And he mentions that in 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. The Holy Spirit is like a person. He's not a force. He's not an it. But he's a person. He's part of the Godhead. And he is at work in your life. And I'm going to, you know, if you have something to write down these scriptures, because we're not going to look them all up. But here's how the Holy Spirit has these characteristics of a person. He possesses the attributes of mind, which is Romans 8, 27. Of the will, which is 1 Corinthians 12, 11. He has feeling, which is Ephesians 4, 30. He engages in such activities as revealing, which is 2 Peter 1, 21. Teaching, John 14, 26. He witnesses to Jesus. He is the one who points us to Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. And that's Hebrews 10, 15. He intercedes, Romans 8, 26. He commands, Acts 16, 6 and 7. That's where he told them, don't go here. Don't go. And he'll do things like that in our life. He has a relationship with people. He can be grieved, like in Ephesians 4:30. He can be lied to in Acts 5:3. And he can be blasphemed in Matthew 12, 31 and 32. The Holy Spirit possesses the divine attributes of the Godhead. He's eternal, it says in Hebrews 9:14. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He is with you. He is God. And he is at work in your life. And he wants you to know him. Amen? You guys with me? Isn't it just like the enemy to kind of mess with the projector when I had literally the most scripture probably I've ever had in, that I wanted to just kind of at you? I heard this somewhere. Someone said, scripture becomes lethal without the Holy Spirit. We've seen people use scripture as a reason to harm people, to hurt people, to beat it over them. Things like the Crusades. Because we need the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word of God. People have sometimes said, well, it's Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And that's not true. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's he that helps us to interpret and understand the Word. We have no vision without the Holy Spirit. We don't have joy. We don't have freedom without the Holy Spirit. I heard someone once say, I think out of 2 Corinthians 3:17, you can put that one up there. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? And they shared this. They said, wherever the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. And so is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord of the church? Is he Lord of your marriage? Is he Lord of your family? Is he Lord of your business? Have you surrendered that to him? Because where he is Lord, there is freedom. Some Christians don't let him be Lord. They still say, I'm on my throne. Many try to study the work of the Holy Spirit without actually coming to know the Holy Spirit, and it's a huge mistake. We need to know him, but knowledge is not everything. The enemy uses knowledge to try and attack. We need him at work in us to know him personally. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called Holy Spirit 96 times. He's called the Spirit of the Lord 28 times, the Spirit of God 26 times. He's called things like Eternal Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy One, the Lord, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Counsel, the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord, the Spirit of Glory, the Spirit of Grace, Spirit of Judgment, Spirit of Love, Spirit of Might, Spirit of Jesus Christ, Spirit of Burning, Spirit of Knowledge, Spirit of Love, Power, Prophecy, Revelation, Sound Mind, Wisdom, Holiness, Spirit of the Holy God. He has a lot of names. But he's one and the same God. And he comes to reveal Jesus and to do the work of the Lord. If Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit to fulfill his mission, how much more do we need to depend on him? I read this last time, but in Luke 24, he told his disciples, go and wait. And I think it's so important that we wait to be filled. Ephesians 5 talks about being filled over and over again. It's not a one-time thing. We come and experience that refreshing, that renewal in our hearts when we are filled, when we come and have that connection with him. That's how we build a friendship with him. Amen? John 14:10, Jesus was led by the Spirit, and he only spoke what he heard the Father speaking. We need to do more listening and less talking. We need to be led more by listening first. What, Holy Spirit, are you calling us to do and say? Otherwise, we start speaking out of fear and anger and all the other stuff, our flesh. Jesus said, I'll give you another helper. Two Greek words that are translated as another in the New Testament are heteros, which is another of a different sort, and allos, which is another of the same kind. So if I give you an apple and I say, do you want another? If I give you an orange next instead of an apple, it's that heteros. It's giving you another of a different kind. Allos is giving you another exact same apple. What's interesting is when Jesus said, I'm giving you a helper, he's using that word saying the Holy Spirit is the same as me. He's the same. The amazing thing is, see, Jesus came in flesh, right? God in the flesh. He came and walked in a human body. And so today, we would not be able to talk to him all the time unless we got on a jet and flew to Israel and maybe stood in line for 6 months to get a word with him. And that's why he said, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come and live in you, because the Holy Spirit is not limited by a human body. Jesus had to sleep and eat. Holy Spirit does not. The Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. It's interesting, that word helper comes out of parakletos, and I read this, and it's the way they break down the word. It says in 1 John 2, it talks about how as an advocate or a helper, that's like almost like a lawyer who pleads your case. He's a personal counselor or a coach. And that out of parakletos, that word para means very close. Paul used this word to describe his relationship with Timothy. It's like my wife Jill is para to me. She's very close. She's closer to me than anyone else on this earth. I know her. And kaleo is to beckon or call, and it was the word used when apostles described their calling. I'm called to the Gentiles, Paul said. It had destiny and permanence to it. And here's the beautiful thing about that, is the Holy Spirit is permanently called to walk alongside us, to coach us in our life and our walk with God. And it's his calling and assignment to do it day in and day out, and he will never leave us, and he'll never give up on us, and he will walk with us till the end. You're not alone. No matter what you face today, you're not alone. It's interesting, you know, Jesus, he said in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." He had been walking with them for 3 years, and everything he had ever said to them came to pass. He told them where to find a colt. They didn't need Kijiji or GPS or whatever. They went and found the colt. The colt was there. He spoke to the wind to stop, and the wind stopped. And after 3 years of seeing everything that he said and did come to pass, he said to them, "I tell you the truth." And it was like, I'm getting their attention, like, listen, this is important. I'm not making this up. It's actually more important that I go. It's important that I go so the Holy Spirit can come. It's to your advantage. All right, I want to put up 2 Corinthians 13:14. Here's the key, you guys, with the Holy Spirit, is we are invited to have fellowship with him. That is the goal. We are to commune with him. We are to know him. We are to abide with him. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And communion, that word comes out of fellowship or koinonia. And it talks about companionship, intimacy, sharing together, partnership. And that's what we're called to. And the reason is we see examples of this in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit is supposed to be a part of our life day in and day out. He wants to lead you and guide you and direct you and move in your life and be a part of your life like a friend. He actually can, when we're intimate with him, he even shares his thoughts and secrets, the Bible says. Things that aren't for everyone else to know, but we just know. And there's examples you see in Scripture where the disciples, they say things like, well, it seemed good to the Spirit and to us. They didn't even have to ask him because they had that friendship, that connection. They knew what the Holy Spirit wanted. They were friends with him. And things, just little things, like when Peter is praying and the Holy Spirit says, you have visitors downstairs. Just the way that you just hear his voice. You know little things. That's how God speaks to us. He wants to be a part of our everyday life. Little things like, oh, I should pray for so-and-so. They just get dropped in your mind. Little things like, you know, Cheryl having that on her heart, and it lines up with what I'm sharing this morning. We need to be witnesses. That doesn't mean that Cheryl is the big name new prophet. It just means that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And it's a beautiful witness to you. He's speaking to you. I don't know how many times in the past when I've been, you know, when my dad was always preaching and I would lead worship and we wouldn't talk and I would pray, Lord, what songs do I do? And how many times the song that you chose lined up exactly with what he's preaching about? Because God knows what's going on and he wants to be a part of your life. How many times when you're, you know, you're going through something and you bump into someone that has gone through that and is able to help you, that's not an accident. The Holy Spirit brings you in contact with people that can be a strength, that can be a resource, that can carry you through. The Holy Spirit stopped the apostles from going places. He warned them. He will warn you sometimes. Watch out for that person because they're dangerous. Or watch out, don't go down that road because there's a problem. There's times in my life where I felt the Holy Spirit said, don't go. And I've heard many other stories about people who said, I felt like I shouldn't go, and then there was an accident or there was this or that, whatever. So the Holy Spirit will protect us if we're listening. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot. He'll also tell us, go reach that person. Go to them. There's stories, I love like Catherine Kuhlman. You know, there's a story I read where she had a long meeting. And for those of you who don't know her, she was a revivalist in the, I forget what years, but in earlier 1900s, at 1950, 60, in that range, somewhere there. And she would have services, and it was amazing how people would get touched by the Lord. She had this beautiful relationship with the Lord. And so one night they were trying to get her out because it had been a long night. They took her through the kitchen of this hotel, trying to get her a hotel room. And as the ushers brought her through the kitchen, all the workers in the kitchen, poof, 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 underneath the glory of God. And they all encountered the Lord. D.L. Moody, same kind of thing. There's a story I read on him that he pastored a church in Chicago. He said he had no power in his ministry. There's no salvations, no healings, nothing. Two old ladies came and said to him, we want to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And his response was, it's okay. I was filled with salvation. And they said, okay, but we're praying for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he began to study it and then desire it. And he saw no power in his ministry, and he saw it in Scripture that this should be available to him. And so he prayed in his basement to receive the Holy Spirit, asking Jesus to baptize him. And he said it was like liquid love coming over him. The next week, he got up and preached a sermon he'd actually preached before, the exact same sermon. Except this time, people began to get saved. all of a sudden more and more and more people began to come and get saved. And the power of God became so strong that, again, same kind of thing. They walked him through a factory one day and all the workers began to fall out under the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone in the factory. And it's not about like that outward thing. It's about, are you a friend of God? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Because he'll use you to do crazy things too. Might not, it won't look exactly like other people, but it'll be beautiful and powerful in your life. And again, all of these things are, again, not to make someone a superstar. It's to be a witness to lead people to Christ. It's to bring glory to Jesus. Romans 5:5, it says that the Holy Spirit reveals the love of the Father to us. My life completely changed when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I've shared it many times before, but I was not walking with the Lord. Living in a Bible college dorm, going to university to get my commerce degree, and God had set me up. And as I had friends in the dorm that were in love with Jesus, and it showed. And they, you know, I would be up at 1 a.m. typing an essay, getting stuff done, and they'd be across the hall in their room praying. And as someone who had grown up knowing God and then walked away, I was starting to notice. My spirit was saying, hey, there's something there you're missing. And going to the bar and all that kind of stuff, it was empty. And I knew it. And so over the course of that year, I remember my heart just being, and I would sneak into the odd prayer meeting at the back, you know, and hang out a little bit. And one day they came up and asked me, would you play violin for this? It was an open house weekend. And I said, sure. And it wasn't in the services. I don't remember what the preacher said, but it was in the pre-service prayer times where the Lord, that whole weekend, every time we went to pray, and usually your pre-service prayer times aren't that extravagant, you know? You're just like praying for a few minutes before service. But the Lord came every time in those services and just hit me with his love. And the Holy Spirit took shame and guilt and all kinds of stuff, and I just said, God, I'm done running. I'm yours. My life completely flipped. It changed. Was everything perfect? No, I'm still far from perfect. But there is a passion in my heart for him that has never gone out since then. And I can look at that and say, I want to experience more of that. And I do. I seek him. And the reason I go after that, the reason I encourage other people, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because I want you to experience him like that. Because I know the change that happens in your heart. It's amazing when you go from things being up here in your head to here. What happens? And we need that. And when you encounter him, it won't be exactly the same as me. But he will meet you exactly where you're at. And I had watched my parents growing up have amazing faith. And I had watched God work. And there's two people there who have lived the walk. They pray. They read scripture. They spend time loving on God. Spend time worshiping him. The reason many of the things in my life are a fruit of the way that the relationship they paved the way for, if that makes sense. Because I got to watch that. And I still, in that home, said no to God for a while. I said, I'm going to do my own thing. And yet there are seeds that were planted there that when the time was right and the Lord convicted me, it was the Holy Spirit at work. And I was like, God, I want you. That wrecked me forever in a good way. When you look at people like Peter and Paul in the scriptures, you see when they encounter the Holy Spirit, their lives change. And that's another sign of the Holy Spirit at work, is that lives change. Everything changes. When you meet with him, the power of God, it's over. It's not an up here thing. Knowledge is great. But when you're marked, it's like getting branded. It's permanent, man. I want more of that. That's what I long for. I can talk to you about Connor McDavid or Wayne Gretzky or different sports stars. I can tell you different stats and I can tell you all about them, but I don't actually know them. Some of us can talk about God lots, but we don't really know him. You know what's neat is my wife, after being married for a long time, I can actually lots of times tell you exactly what is going through her mind when someone says something, or when a certain show comes on, or when a certain whatever. I'm like, I know what she's thinking. And it's not because I can tell you about her, it's because I know her. And it's no different with our walk with the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants you to know Him. I'm going to wind this down, even though I got lots I could say. I really, really, really pray this morning that you're hearing this, the heart of this, because I can throw lots of things at you, but unless this lands home in here, do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know His voice? Have you opened yourself up to surrender and make Him Lord of your life? And not just at salvation, but are you saying, Holy Spirit, come? Are you waking up every day and saying, Lord, have your way in me? Lord, please fill me again. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says we're laborers together with God. We're called to partner with the Lord. And that's, you know, we start out with fellowship and we work towards intimacy, where we really truly go deeper with Him. Where it says in James 4:5 that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Why is He jealous? He's jealous for your heart. He's saying, what are you desiring in your life? What are you putting in your life? Are there things in your life that are more important, that they're attracting you in this world more than what the Lord is? Are you seeking the things of the world? Because that's the things that God says, I can't be first in your life if you're pursuing everything the world has to offer. And that's the cost of following Jesus, to say no to the world and yes to Him. We have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And the Holy Spirit equips us and helps us to walk out that life, but we have to say yes to Him. We have to want to walk with Him. What is, you know, if you make yourself a friend of the world, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the pride of life is status, it's position, it's your reputation. And if we're honest, there's a lot of us that always will, at different times in our life, we're going to struggle with some of that stuff. I want people to like me. But if I want people to like me more than I want to actually be a witness for Christ, I'm missing it. Sometimes you have to look a little foolish to love Jesus. Why would you go to church every week? Like, what's wrong with you? You should be golfing. Why would you pray every day? Why would you give your time, your energy, your finances to something like that? What's up with you? Why would you make a commitment and say, no, I can't go to that sports thing, I'm going to church. No, I can't watch this, I love Jesus. He's calling us to that. You know, He wants us to be with Him. When you think of Mario, who do you think of next? Luigi. Yeah. They're partnered together, right? When you think of one, you think, sorry, my kids, that's the age you're at. We're in Mario and Luigi. But, that, you know, when you think of John Lennon, you think of the Beatles, right? And it's us and Him. Him and us together. We need to do life together. He is yearning for you. Just like a man is not going to be intimate with his wife if she goes and sleeps around all over town and then comes home and thinks that things are going to be normal. It doesn't work. What happens when we go and give our life all week long to the world? And God, why don't I ever hear your voice? Where are you? You know, I've noticed that if we don't engage with God, He tends to be very silent. There will be times that He might break in and be like, there's a fire. You got to do something right now. I want to use you. But there are many times in our life that if we don't engage with Him, He just remains quiet. He's waiting. He says this in John 16:12-15. He says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. You know, the Holy Spirit, this is a beautiful thing. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 2 as well. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And if you jump to 1 Corinthians 2, you can read that. The whole chapter is beautiful, but there's this dialogue about how Paul says, we didn't come, you know, with knowledge. We came with the power of God speaking. And then he goes on to say, who can know the thoughts of a man except for the Spirit of a man? Who can know the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God? If you want to get to know God, you got to get to know the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say that the Holy Spirit reveals all things to us. You need a friendship with him. I'm going to end. In fact, somebody want to go grab Jill, and because she wants to come and do something to end here. You know, there's a story after Jesus had died and rose again. Jesus was with 10 disciples in a locked room, and boom, Jesus appeared. Freaked them out, right? And then Jesus came again, because Thomas wasn't there that time. And they told Thomas, we saw Jesus. He says, unless I stick my hand in his side and put my fingers in the holes, I won't believe, right? He thought they were nuts, smoking a little something. And then Jesus comes. And it says in John 20:29, Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Because when Thomas saw him, he fell and said, my Lord and my God. And he believed. And Jesus said, you know, blessed are you because you saw me and believed. And John Bevere shares three things, three levels of relationship that we're called to. And the lowest one is level of relationship is physical. Many people get married off of being the whole idea of physical level of relationship. Like, whoo, she's hot, let's get married, you know. And that's as far as it ever goes. And after the honeymoon, she goes to her interests and with her girlfriends, and he goes to his interests with sports, and the connection breaks apart. Because no relationship can just survive off of physically alone. And then the second level is the soul, or the personality of a person. David and Jonathan did this in 2 Samuel 1:6 or 1:26. He talked about how they had this connection that was powerful. It goes beyond just a physical connection, but it's a deep connection with someone else. And then there's a spiritual level. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says that, you know, only you know the thoughts of your heart. But when you fellowship with people around the word and pray with them, you connect spiritually. And you really don't know a person until you get to know their spirit. Sometimes people start talking out of the knowledge of their head, and it's almost tiring. But when you connect with someone on that spiritual deep level, it brings a connection. Paul said the gospel came by revelation, not by man. There's things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us because he's spirit, not through physical, because Jesus could have said it right in front of us, but it's because he wanted us to believe and have that relationship with him and connect on a spiritual level because he's a spirit. Amen? All right, I'm going to quit. The rest, another day. Another time. Would you just close your eyes and bow your head with me for a minute? And then when they come and they're ready here, we'll wrap it up. I just want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to come, to be a part of your life. To fill you again today. To speak to you. To come alive. He is the Spirit of revelation. He is the one that shows you. He is he's the one that draws you. He's the one that brings you closer. He's the one that reveals Jesus to you. You can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. But he's inviting you to a deeper level, not just a shallow relationship, but to actually know his thoughts, to know his voice. He's the one that opens the scripture to you when you read it. Makes it come alive. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, to burn in us, to mark us for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that we wouldn't just have knowledge or memorize scriptures, but that we would have revelation of who you are and who we are in you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, that you would mark us, that you would burn in us, that you would, Lord, that we would have a hunger and a desire to go and to be witnesses to the world, to reach the lost, because that's what it's really about. The main thing is the main thing, that we have been called to fall in love with you and to reach our neighbor, to go and to make disciples. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you set us, would you put a passion and a desire in our hearts to reach people? Would you give us boldness? Lord, that's why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, is to equip us to be bold, to go out and to share the good news. This is not something we're supposed to hide and hoard to ourselves, but we're called to give your love away. We're called to give the good news away. It's a good news, it's a free gift that none of us is supposed to keep for ourselves. And Lord, we, our hearts are so easily drawn to this world, so easily drawn to be, Lord, self-serving and satisfying, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And the, Lord, we are full of pride. And we need you. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would convict each of us of the things, the areas in our life that we just need to let go of, that we need to surrender to you, that we need to stop being a part of. And I just, you know, I just sense, I'm reminded of this. Sometimes, you guys, the Holy Spirit, it's, this is what he does. A TV show comes on, and right away inside you're like, oh, that's not good. But you have a choice right in that moment. Holy Spirit, do I want to stay in fellowship and connection with you? And I want to shut this off and move on? Or I'm going to sit here just because it would be easier. This is a fun show. This is a nice show. This is the kind of stuff you're browsing online, whatever. And maybe it's sexual stuff. Maybe it's political crap that gets you angry and caught up in stuff. Maybe it's gossip, whatever. And something in your spirit goes, oh, that's not good. You have a choice in those moments to say, Holy Spirit, I'm staying connected to you. I'm shutting this off. I'm getting out of here. Or I'm going to dive into whatever this is that I'm feeding my flesh. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. That's how he warns you and guides you and leads you. He's trying to keep you from getting yourself caught up in stuff that's going to hurt your heart and your relationship with God. He comes to remove all the stuff that is a barrier between you and walking with the Lord. So just take a moment and just deal with that with the Lord.